following message was recorded at Faith Fellowship St. Pete in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.
This morning to be on the mountain. Set all our worries aside. Don't think about the things you have to. Turn your cell phones off. And for this hour, just be set apart. Be with the Lord on the mountain. It's really simple. And to do that, it's just a participation. Whether you're standing, you're sitting, you're singing loud, you're praying quietly, whatever that looks like for you, be on the mountain this morning. So if you guys would join me in prayer. Father, we want to be with you. We want to be close to you. We want to be set apart from the world, Lord, and be in your presence. So we just pray this morning that you would allow us to be on this mountain with you, Lord. That we can be still, that we can be loud, that we can be dancing, that we can be crying. Lord, that we can be asking for forgiveness. Or, Father, that you might instill in our hearts that we should go and forgive our brothers this morning. So, Lord, we ask that your Spirit work in us. We ask that your Spirit would quiet us, that it would continue to give us joy and a peace. Father, your peace. We pray for Pastor Colin and Sheba as they get away this time, Lord, for the next 2 weeks or so, that you would quiet their minds and their hearts. Would you give them rest and refresh them? We pray for Tom and Vicky, Lord, that you would heal their bodies. We thank you for the people that are not here today, Lord. We ask that you give them peace. That you would comfort them, that you would urge us to let them know they were missed. Father, we love you, and we're so thankful for being a part of this body. Help us to praise your name today, Lord. Help us to give you alone, the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful, so wonderful is your unfailing love. Your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart could fully know how glorious, how beautiful you are. Beautiful one I love. Beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must see. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must see. Powerful, so powerful, your glory fills the sky. Your mighty works displayed for all to see. The beauty of your majesty awakes my heart to sing. How marvelous, how wonderful you are. Beautiful one I love. Beautiful one I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must see. A beautiful one I love. Beautiful one I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must see. opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with your love, because nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. You opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with your love, because nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must sing. Beautiful one I love you, beautiful one I adore you, beautiful one my soul must sing. Oh, beautiful one.
Shares the word. That's good. I like that.
All right. Good morning, everyone. So This is awesome. The Lord's already prepared this in advance, so you know, we don't have to be worried or, you know, have any type of anxiety. So this is I've been asked to talk about the power of praise, and so this is something that we spoke about. It was about 5 weeks ago in the Wednesday night study, and so the notes were already laid out. Everything's already prepared. All I have to do is just be, you know, be the voice for the scriptures, and so we're going to be reading through a pretty well-known passage right now, and I'm going to kind of highlight something that stood out when we did our study and just talk about the power, you know, the power of it, of praise. So we're going to be going through Acts chapter 16. If you guys want to open your Bibles, Acts 16, we're going to be reading verses 22 through 34. So a little bit of background before we start reading. So this was Paul's second missionary journey, and he's traveling into Europe, okay? And specifically, he's traveling into Philippi. And in Philippi, they didn't have a synagogue, so he's meeting with the women there by the river, and they're praying. And as he's going to the river this specific time, there's a demon-possessed girl who's calling out. And she's under... She's a slave, basically. Like, so she's being used as a slave for this gift. I mean, if you could call it a gift of being able to, you know, predict what people are thinking. And so Paul calls the demon out of her. He releases her from this burden, and the people who owned her were not happy about it. You know, that they felt like they took their money away, and so they get this large crowd together, and they pull Paul and Timothy, and they put them in front of the crowd. So this is where we're going to pick up in verse 24. I'm sorry, verse 22. It says, "The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them and threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely, having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your whole household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and his family. And he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced, along with his entire household, that they had believed in God." And so I want to focus on one specific verse here. And this is like the turning point, right, in this whole thing. They were being persecuted. And then the turning point in verse 25 says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." So one of the, as I studied through this, the specific word or phrase here is singing hymns to God. Now, the word used here, hallel, is the same word that we use in hallelujah, right? Praise to God. It's the root of that. But more specifically, this phrase was used in Matthew 26:30 and Mark 14:26, and it denotes a specific set of hymns out of the Psalms that are sung after the Passover. And these are the same Psalms that are sung by Jesus with the disciples as he was heading to the Mount of Olives, a Garden of Gethsemane. And so I don't want to read the entire set of Psalms to you, but what I do is I want to highlight a few specific parts of each of these, and it's Psalm 113 through 118. This is this specific set of Psalms that it talks about. And so we're going to get some insight about this situation from what the Psalms is telling us. So let me go there real quick. So this is Psalm 113. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 and then verse 7. It says, "Praise to the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time and forevermore. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap." Psalm 114, verses 7 and 8. "Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water and flint into the spring of water." Psalm 115, 1 through 3. "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, and for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." And then Psalm 116, 1 and 2. "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live." This is 116, 12 through 16. "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his peoples. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds." Psalm 117, this is two verses in this. "Praise the Lord, all the nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." And finally, Psalm 118. 1 through 9. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I call on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." And finally, Psalm 118, 13 and 14. "I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." Now, think about who was listening to this as they were in prison, right? The prisoners were listening to this, right? The guard was there. There was a physical miracle. Like, what happened? There was an earthquake. The doors were open. The bonds were loosened. They were set free. And then there was a spiritual miracle that went along with this, right? And that was obviously the salvation of the jailer and his entire family. So, you know, what does this mean for us right now? So it's easy to praise God during the good times, right, when things are going well. But more importantly, we should not be afraid to praise God when we're suffering and during the hard times, because people around us are listening, right? Now, Paul and Silas may have been in prison, but they weren't the prisoners. They were free. God had set them free. The jailer, even though he was free, he was the prisoner. He was imprisoned to sin. So people are listening. People who are prisoners to sin, God can break their chains and set them free. So we have to be witnesses through our praise to the Lord in all circumstances. That's it. Thank you, guys.
are good, you are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love, you are love. On display for all to see, you are light, you are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope, you are hope. You have covered all our sin. You are peace, you are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are true, you are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy, you are joy. You're the reason that I sing. You are life, you are life. In you death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, than my words will ever say. You are Lord, you are Lord. All creation will proclaim. You are here, you are here. In your presence I'm made whole. You are God. Of all else I'm letting go. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign.
Can you join with me this morning in prayer? Father, we just praise you and we thank you for your goodness, God, as we fix our eyes on your attributes, on your character, on who you are and your identity. Father, there's so much that we can love about you. Father, your goodness is rich. Your kindness is everlasting. You are more than generous to us. Father, we see your goodness in your way that you provide for us. We see in your goodness in the way that you gave your only son to us, to give his life for us, to forgive us of our sins, to give us life as we live through him. Father, thank you for the goodness that you show to us in every day, from the rising of the sun to the setting. God, the food that you put before us, the strength that you give to us, it displays your goodness to us, Lord. We just need eyes to see and ears to hear of it, Lord. And we thank you this morning for that goodness that you bestow on us, that you give us to us richly and generously without limit. We thank you, Lord, for that.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after me, it's running after me. With my life laid down, surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me, it's running after me. Oh, oh, your goodness is running after me, running after me.
Yes, Lord.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. So my life you have been faithful. So my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God, yes. And I will sing of the goodness of God. And I will sing of the goodness of God.
Would you guys encourage Matt as he comes forward? I love it, yes.
Okay, we're going to read from Colossians 3, verse 15 through 17. And just really meditate upon this. These are some really neat admonition to us as his church. Verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and teaching and in the admonition of one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with the thankfulness of God in your hearts. And in whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to our God and Father through him. And I was in his word this morning, and there's actually kind of a verse I wanted to encourage you with, because I've been chewing on it, I think, for a couple weeks. It's in Luke 3, and, you know, as a church, we've been going through Luke 3. And I want to say this in encouragement. I've read through from cover to cover God's word several times. I've read through the Bible. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but I was reading this verse that I'm going to share with you, and I just don't really remember reading it. But God took a highlighter and just really emphasized it to me, and I've really been just meditating upon it for a couple weeks. But here's some context: is that John the Baptist arrives on the scene in Luke 3, and there's kind of some confrontation that occurs, and there will be confrontation that will continue with Jesus and John the Baptist being confronted by the Pharisees. And one of the big issues is about Abraham. And I'm going to read this for you, but it's verse 8. And this is John the Baptist saying, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children from Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Now, what's actually quite amazing about this is the statement that John makes. It's extraordinary, if you really think about it. When John the Baptist is saying, for God is able, that from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Now, why is that extraordinary? Think back to how Israel was born. Most of us know the story of Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was 90 years old when she even conceived, and they had been trying for quite a while. That's an extraordinary statement, that basically, what would be more unlikely, a 90-year-old conceiving, though she's barren, but she has the reproductive parts, or to raise up children from stones? And I guess I want to just encourage you with the ability of God, that God is able. God can do the extraordinary. Think of the birth of the nation of Israel. Think about it. It's so unlikely. It's impossible. Near impossible, 90 years old. Think of, though, the birth of Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? A virgin birth. You know, a virgin birth. That has never happened in history. Think, though, of John the Baptist, too. His parents weren't able to conceive as well. And God even, you know, shut the mouth of John the Baptist's father in the temple. You know, these are confirmations, but I just want to encourage you to have faith this morning that God is able to do the impossible out of unlikely circumstances. Why? It's not our ability. It's not in who we are. It's in him. And so, I mean, God's just been encouraging my faith that when I approach him in faith and prayer, do I kind of see him for all that he is, You know, or do I see him for how I see him to be? But God is so able to raise even up from rocks those who will follow him. There will always be a remnant. God is always going to march his church forward, the good, the bad, the ugly. But I tell you today that God is able today. And I just call us out to have the faith of John the Baptist, that John the Baptist prepared the way, but man, the faith to say that, you know what? In Jesus's day, we need to understand that the religious leaders had literally were almost pretty much apostate. And the religious leaders, the Pharisees are even going to be the ones to put Christ up on that cross. And I'm just saying that even regardless of our circumstances this morning, God is able to raise up people that will follow him, they'll proclaim him, they'll walk it out in faith, be it the rocks. And, you know, worship is the same way. It's said that if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. All of creation will cry out if we don't. And so I just encourage you today in faith that God can even raise up descendants, followers of him, irregardless of who we are.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I bet you're surprised to see me up here. Marty called me late last night and said, would you pray about thankfulness? And I said, sure. Then I thought, whoa. But, you know, I'm going to talk a couple minutes. I had a pastor in Ohio that once said, my job is to mature the church to the point where even if I'm not here, they can have church. And that's what we're doing today. We're having church. And I just want to say that I'm so thankful to Pastor Colin and all the pastors that I've had before him, the leaders, the Bible study people who have matured us so that we can have church, even if we don't have our regular pastor here. We have godly men who God has raised up to in the body to help us have church. And we have wonderful music people who help us to praise, and women, of course. But I just wanted to read a scripture. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. It says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And we've been doing a Bible study about forgiving. And one of the things we've been learning is that sometimes the things that happen to us that are the most hurtful or just kind of bowl us over, God can use for good. And he sometimes turns those things into good. So I'm just thankful for that Bible study. I'm thankful for all the people that have been part of my life. And especially the Holy Spirit who turns those things into good. Because God uses those things we go through to help others. And just in our little group, I mean, it's just amazing how all of us have experienced things that help others. And the Holy Spirit brings people together who need each other. And we all need each other. So now I just want you to join me in prayer. Of thanksgiving to our Lord. Heavenly Father, first of all, we just want to thank you for the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice for us, Lord. We want to thank you for the love that you have for all of us, Lord. We want to thank you that you love us no matter what, Lord. We don't have to be anything special. We just have to be who you created us to be, and you love us. And we just want to thank you for our pastors, all of our leaders, all the people that have influenced our life, Lord, that have matured us. and helped us to be able to have church today, even without our regular people. We can have church. And I want to thank you especially for Pastor Colin, who shares his pulpit, Lord, who's not afraid to share and let the men and women in this church just be part of worshiping and praising and teaching. I just thank you so much, God. I thank you most of all for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our comforter, gives us peace and guides us. And I want to thank you also for everyone here, Lord, and for all of our friends and family who've been part of our journey, Lord, as we have grown up in you. I just thank you so much. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Chains, the world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame. When he came for me, I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. Was a fire deep in my soul, I'd never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light. When he called my name, I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. He holds the stars and he holds my heart. With healing hands that bear the scars, the rugged cross where he died for me, my only hope, my everything. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. How can it be? He loves me. He is for me. Oh, Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. God, it's amazing. Oh, Jesus loves me.
You know, quite often in my walk, I have to sing that song because I have to be reminded that He loves me.
Eternal God, unchanging, mysterious and unknown. Your boundless love, unfailing, in grace and mercy shown. Bright seraphim and endless flight around your glorious throne, they raise their voices day and night in praise to you alone. Hallelujah! Glory be to our great God. Hallelujah! Glory be to our great God. Lord, we are weak and frail, helpless in the storm. Surround us with your angels, hold us in your arms. Our cold and ruthless enemy, his pleasure is our harm. Rise up, O Lord, and he will flee before our sovereign God. Hallelujah. In the sea and every flying bird, let every mountain, every field and valley of the earth, let all the moons and all the stars in all the universe sing praises to the living God who rules them by His word. Hallelujah! Glory be to our great God. Hallelujah! Glory be to our great God. Hallelujah! Glory be to our great God. Hallelujah. Glory be to our great
Oh, Rob, don't want to miss me saying this. Would you guys give some encouragement to Rob as he comes up?
Woo!
Thank you for your encouragement. I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and it's about faith. And it reads, "Blessed
be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, as I approach this passage, I think about how God in his sovereignty ordains trials for us to go through, doesn't he? Isn't it great that God is sovereign over that? He's in control of that. So when things happen that are trials and tribulation and things that are painful to us, we know that they happen for a reason. And in this passage, the reason is the trying of our faith so that it will be revealed as more precious than gold, and that it'll bring it to a point of maturity, and it'll bring it to a point where it shows the power of God and shows how he's bringing that to a point in our lives that it's real. It's something that's going to result in the salvation of our souls. And I just think that's such a encouragement when we see that the things that face us sometimes. Because there's a temptation sometimes, isn't it, to be discouraged and to feel like everything's against us, and that why is this happening to me? Why does it seem like every time I take a step, I take two steps backwards? But God has a purpose in that. God has a purpose in bringing our faith to a point where we could say, blessed is he who has brought me through all these things, and that when we approach the end of our lives, we see this faith coming to a point where he's going to bring us to himself. He's going to bring us to heaven. He's going to bring us to the reward of our faith. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the encouragement that it is. We thank you so much for faith that is a gift from you. We thank you that your word shows us that the faith that we have is not from ourselves, but it's from you, Lord. It's a gift of God, and we don't have to work. We don't have to rely on ourselves and our own strength to maintain our faith, because it's something that comes from the Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you that your Spirit maintains that strength, that faith that brings us to you. You give it to us as a gift. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage us today. We thank you for the encouragement that this morning has been, even though it didn't turn out the way we thought it would, even though we didn't get the updates and the testimonies that we thought we would. Lord, you've still been here. You've still shown your presence. You've given us the Word of God. You've given us the inspiration of your Holy Spirit to guide us. Lord, we thank you for Marty. We thank you for his leadership this morning. We thank you for Buck and everybody else who's prayed and shared, Lord. Judy and Matt and everybody else. Lord, what an encouragement. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the faith that you've given us as a gift, that though we haven't seen, yet we believe. And we pray these things in your precious name. Amen.
when peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows rolled, whatever my lot, God has taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Yes, it is. Though the devil will ruin, though trials may come, let this blessed assurance control, and that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Let's do that again. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. One last time. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
Amen. So guys, pray with me. Father, we just pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart were pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for giving us the small understanding, Lord, of your immensity. Father, help us to walk day by day in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So hear this, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for listening to this message from Faith Fellowship, St. Pete, in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.